And welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and it's a pleasure to share God's word with you this morning. Matthew chapter 21, the Gospel for Palm Sunday. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Why would a man who walked everywhere his entire life, hundreds of miles during his three-year ministry, all of the sudden need a ride for the last mile or two? It's a bit strange, isn't it? Yet as Jesus approaches Jerusalem one last time, he sends two disciples ahead of him to the next village with one clear assignment: "Bring me a donkey and her colt. If anyone says anything, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." The Lord needs them. Why exactly did Jesus need them? It wasn't because he was tired. He wasn't running late. Jesus sent his disciples to fetch a donkey and her colt for three reasons. The first reason Matthew highlights for us very clearly. He says this was prophesied by Zechariah as a messianic marker. And you can think of these Old Testament prophecies as God-given clues. It's almost like the game Guess Who. These prophecies were meant to help the people of Israel identify the prophet that Moses spoke of in Deuteronomy 18 when he said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." But why? God could have picked any vehicle, or any animal for that matter. Why a donkey and not, say, a camel or a horse? Well, the Lord God chose to need a donkey and her colt because it perfectly matches his royal character and suits his redeeming work perfectly. Now, Matthew describes the lively scene for us. He says, on the road to Jerusalem, a crowd of Galilean followers and some folks from Jericho are really making quite a ruckus. The growing crowd is cutting down palm branches and spreading their own cloaks on the road. It's a festive environment. And the celebrants who are leading the way are shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" And even those who are following behind Jesus are raising their voices too. "Hosanna in the highest heaven," they say. The people are praising Jesus. And he lets them. That in and of itself is remarkable because Jesus is not the kind of guy who's interested in fame or power. Scripture tells us that he became poor for us. He didn't think that being God was something to be used to his advantage. That's why he took on the nature of a servant. In fact, as we look at Jesus' life, especially in Mark's gospel, Jesus was more likely to rebuke someone for praising him than he was to encourage it. In Mark chapter 1, when a demon accurately calls him the Holy One of God, Jesus rebukes him fiercely, saying, "Be quiet." Even when he healed people, and they were filled with joy and gratitude, he would command them, "Don't tell anyone." When he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, he gave them strict orders not to let anyone know. He even warned his own disciples, when they correctly identified him as the Messiah, not to tell anyone else. See, Jesus did not cast out demons or heal the sick or instruct his disciples to gain attention or for the adulation. He consistently avoided it all, actually. So in Matthew chapter 1, we know that Jesus has not succumbed to the appeal of fame or power. No, he is allowing the people to praise him because he has come to Jerusalem to reveal himself as the Messiah and do the work of the Messiah. Because as he says in John chapter 7, his time had now fully come. At just the right time, Jesus rode into battle on a colt, not a war horse. And as he heard the people praise him, "Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest," he recognized that these cries of Hosanna were much deeper than even these celebrants realized. Hosanna is the Hebrew way of saying save, more likely save us. It became such a common expression that this word of asking for help became an expression of celebration or praise as much as it was a cry for help. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Son of David. These people were excited. They spoke words with rich history and deep spiritual meaning. We may wonder, did they understand what they were saying? Did they really understand how much they needed Jesus and why? See, when they were pressed by the people in the city of Jerusalem, when they asked, "Who is this?" the crowds responded by saying, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And they were right. Jesus was a prophet, the prophet, even. But he was surely so much more for them and for us. And these people seemed to be more excited about Jesus' residence than his resolve and his intentions. They shouted about where he came from and nothing about where he was headed, what he would do. Like this crowd, we often use words with rich history and deep spiritual meaning and fail to understand their import. Consider just the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods." You know what this means, right? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Hosanna in the highest. But is God your highest? Do you give God your best? Do you fear him as he commands you? Do you love him as he has loved you? Do you trust him as he has earned? No, more likely in the moments when you get angry or sad about the wrong things, you demonstrate that God is something less than your highest. The things that do lift your spirits, the things that may leave you in the dumps, well, those really reveal what's important to you. Think about what you fear. You might say, I don't fear anything except maybe spiders or heights, but fear has a way of moving us, guiding our decision-making. Does the fear of God do the same? No, all too often, we fear what others will say about us more than what God says. We fear the unknown more than the Lord who knows all. We fear things like pain and loneliness, embarrassment and loss more than what God commands. What about what we love? What we fight for shows what we love, doesn't it? We fight for our reputations and our rights, but rarely the reputation of the Word of God and the right that it reveals. We may battle scales and errant charges, but we labor little to learn how God sees and values us. What about what we trust? Now, it's one thing to say you trust in the Lord, but what causes you to worry, well, that exposes what you really trust in. Should you and I really be anxious when things seem to be spinning out of control, if we trust in God most of all? Has he lost control of the situation, or has he just revealed that you didn't have as much control as you once thought? Do we lean on the Lord our God? His wisdom, his power, his plan, or on our own understanding? You see, when we evaluate our hearts, our lives, we recognize that we have not feared, loved, or trusted God most of all. Humbled, we find ourselves like this crowd crying out, "Heaven, save us! Son of David, save us! Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest heaven! Hosanna!" Is it prayer or praise? It's God's purpose, His plan. Hosanna is why the Son of David left heaven's high throne and came to earth. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he was saving people from the miserable effects of sin. Whether he was feeding the hungry crowds or teaching them about the nature and will of God, he was addressing their deep need to be fed by and know God better. When he was doing miraculous things like cleansing lepers or giving sight to the blind or raising the dead, he was bearing witness to God's greater power, to his ability to cleanse us from the terminal disease of sin, to lift us from death, to restore our sight so that we would no longer be blind to the impact of our sinful nature. Hosanna to the Son of David. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you. See, as Jesus fed and taught and healed and restored, he was always gentle and kind, humble and compassionate. The sheer number of suffering folks never numbed him to their pain. He humbly healed and instructed and corrected, and he never grew bitter or cynical or got burned out. And all that work was a precursor to his saving work, his messianic work. See, here in Matthew 21, Jesus is accepting the messianic praise of the people, but he knew the pain that came with these words of praise. Because being the Messiah wasn't just about accepting the people's praises, it was about accepting the people's sin and making a sacrifice. This very large crowd, who now was heaping their praises upon him, would soon heap upon his shoulders all their problems, all their shame, all their guilt, all their sin, along with all ours too. The cries of Hosanna could only be answered by his suffering and death, by him shouting aloud, "It is finished," only after first ignoring insulting challenges like, "If you really are the Son of God, save yourself." See, that's the incredible thing about Jesus. Though he feared, loved, and trusted in God perfectly, God did not rescue him from the cross. There on Calvary, Jesus experienced the full wrath of God for you and me. He bore all your sins. He was numbered among the transgressors for your transgressions. He was hated by the Father that he loved. And even though Jesus trusted in the Lord God with all his heart, our wickedness made his path painful and wretched. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to Jerusalem for you. See, your king willingly dies for you. Hosanna to the Son of David, who did not save himself, but us instead. Hosanna in the highest heaven. See, because of God's rich mercy, you and I are saved. Our king died in our place, but our king still lives and reigns, and he is still just as gentle and humble. He does not burden us with a load of care. He invites us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Even after suffering and dying for our sins, for the guilt burden that we placed upon the innocent Lamb of God, Jesus still invites us into his presence. He implores us to cast all our cares upon him, because he still cares for us, because he will always continue to care about us, to love us, to treat us gently, and offer us the rest that our souls pine for. Why would a king, who already suffered so much for his people, say this to us, his followers? Because he knows we need it. Because he knows day by day you are overwhelmed by the battle going on in your heart. Because he knows you need a king who is gentle and humble. He knows that when you are laid low by the shame of your sin, you need someone to stoop down and lift you up again. He knows when you don't think you can go on another step, you need someone to strengthen you perfectly. So he bears your pain, your guilt, your shame, and all your sorrows. When you are overwhelmed by the circumstances of life, he shares in your sorrows and assures you of his plan and his power to save. Who is this? This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee, but he is so much more. This is Jesus, your great high priest, who came down from heaven's heights to atone for your sins with his innocent blood. This is Jesus, the Son of David, your humble and gentle king who bears your burdens and carries the cross for your salvation. This is Jesus, your king who lives and reigns and guides all things for your eternal good. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Amen.